tonight on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. It's Tech Tuesday with our good friend and tech expert, Andy Choi. We also have comedian Dobie Maxwell. And now, live from the Allstate Skyline Studio here in Chicago, we are broadcasting live.
Tuesday night, you are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea has a night off, but she will be back tomorrow night. And there's something kind of wonderful about, my friend Dobie Maxwell was asking me if it's kind of hard to have to wait for a Sox game to end. But this is actually a perfect situation, Dobie. I've now known you, I think, for more than half my life, by the way.
Back when I had hopes and dreams, Patty, and
me
I
too.
Lived vicariously through you. Do you know Patty Vasquez? Yes,
stop,
I do.
Stop it. But you're like family to me. I've known you for a long time. You've spent many hours. I feel like it was with me and my mom. I think that of all the comics that I've ever worked with, you probably know my mom more than
I will never forget the day with your mother. Someday we'll tell the story. And I don't think she likes me, but I liked her.
Oh, she does like you.
We saw Oprah together.
We did.
And you were on the TV.
You were on the TV. We were both. Well,
yeah. Bernie Mac was there too.
Bernie Mac. I feel like it was a dream or something.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
So it's wonderful to have you in studio.
Thank you for having me.
Dobie Maxwell is one of the country's best comics, and he's also the author of Monkey in the Middle. We've talked about his harrowing adventures with a friend of him of his who tricked him into robbing a bank once, and then Dobie worked with the FBI to make sure that he did not go to jail by helping him rob another
bank. That's why I'm here tonight, Patty. Thank you.
Was that all in Milwaukee?
It was in Milwaukee.
Well, it's interesting because our friend Andy Choi from Verizon joined us in studio, and he was living in Milwaukee for a while. I doubt it was at the same time.
He was
though.
A suspect for a while.
Was he?
He's such a nice guy.
Uh-oh.
I took the bullet for him.
Uh-oh.
Look out.
Dobie, your Brewers hat there really, bringing me back to the Brew City.
I forgot because, it's weird. I grew up in Milwaukee, and you could hear Cubs games as a kid, and the Brewers were in the American League, so I'm
sure.
A Cub fan. I was cheering in 2016, so I'm a Fairweather fan. Now they're both good. I don't know who to cheer for.
Yeah.
Go Blackhawks.
Cubs.
Patty's got a Blackhawks
hat. There you go.
I'll cheer for them.
When in doubt, wear a Blackhawks hat.
Yeah,
that's
Chicago. Yeah,
say.
That's about right.
Yeah, no, you can't. Yeah, nobody's going to get mad at you for wearing a Blackhawks hat. Nobody, even Red Wings
that's
fans
true.
Are like, I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not so bad. So Andy is in studio to share some of the gadgets that kids might want for the school year and some other things. Dobie, I went shopping with my son today for his freshman year of high school.
Feel bad for you.
What happened since you and I were kids?
I had an abacus.
Right?
With a Packer logo on it.
I had pens. I got excited about my Trapper Keeper folder. Oh. You know, my pencil bag.
Protractor. Did you have one of those?
I had drafting at Lane Tech. I had a T-square, my friend.
My gosh.
I had a compass. I had all those things.
Hardcore Vasquez, they called you.
What is happening, Andy, where I Chromebooks and speakers and scientific calculators. Oh, my. What? Mm. Is happening.
Well, I will say part of it is the keeping up with the Joneses, which has never really gone away at all. You know, it started with Trapper Keepers and who had the coolest Trapper Keeper, who had the coolest protractor, abacus, whatever. Name your apparatus.
Right.
I'm going to start here by introducing the JBL Link 20.
Yeah.
So this is a nice little speaker here. What's wonderful about this is it's just rugged. So whatever you're
don't throw
doing,
that at me. I don't care how rugged it is.
It's very football shaped. Uh-huh. We could
toss it around.
Yeah, do a little Lambo leap after this, right?
Okay. You gotta stop talking this in Chicago. We're gonna get ambushed outside.
I know.
It's okay.
But the great thing about this is nowadays the speakers are smart and they're like your tutor. You can ask it questions, and the great thing about this, I love playing with this, is it's got Google Assistant, so you can kind of ask a little question here. So how about a little something about, I don't know, we'll do a little history lesson here. So we'll say, I've got the JBL up to our mic here. Okay, Google, who was the sixth president of the United States?
Mm-hmm. John Quincy Adams was the sixth president of the United States.
So this speaker is now your history tutor, and you can just have fun with it.
Your cheater pumpkin eater. You're not even typing it in anymore. There's nothing tactile about it.
That's true.
Although verbal, look, you're asking the questions.
Yes.
You're hopefully retaining the information as well.
And that's the thing.
And kids learn differently now.
We talked about it the last time I was here, is being responsible with your tech and making sure that, you and your kids have a real conversation about, are you using this as a tool or as a toy.
Right.
You know, that's something that's pretty
Is your toy letting you making you into a tool is what I'm asking.
Yeah, see,
as I
go.
Approach frumpitude, I have one request as I'm an old frump. You kids get off my lawn. My blinker is on my car. It's
okay.
parked right now. Could you please teach the kids how to make change?
No.
At McDonald's.
No.
Here's my 20. Oh, it's 18.05. Here's 20 and a nickel. And they're bzz, 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 their head just goes nuts.
Okay, I read somewhere that some schools are taking down analog clocks because the kids cannot read time now.
Oh, no. You know what else they can't read? Cursive.
Yeah, no cursive.
They
yeah,
can't read penmanship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a new world.
It's
I don't like it.
The summer is winding down. You know what? I say we just hold on to summer until the first snowfall. I say, Esmeralda, what do you think? Just sit summer until it snows? Eric, are you in on that?
Yeah. Shorts
I'm
the whole
definitely
time?
Definitely down on that.
Yeah.
Especially if it stays like this.
Yeah. Shorts. I don't care if you have to wear scarves and flip-flops.
That's fine.
Yeah. Whole hog all the way because I refuse to let go.
Come on, global warming.
Come on, global.
Forget the polar bears. We want summer.
Well, Dobie Maxwell joins us in studio. He's a comedian and the author of Monkey in the Middle, and he is taking off. Are you going on cruise ships? Is that your next destination?
Yes, Saturday I'll be going to Miami and somewhere in the Caribbean to get pestered for coins by local aliens. It's amazing because, you know, the people that... You ever been on a cruise before?
I have, yes. Now, it's been a while, but...
Did you like it?
I did.
You know, it's one of those things where it's the difference between working at a really nice restaurant versus eating at one. It's fun to eat at one. It's not fun to work at one.
Oh, really?
It's not fun to work on a cruise ship. It's totally not.
Do you have to have different shows, like the clean
yes.
show and the dirty show
yes.
thing?
Yes. Okay. And they have the kids, and sometimes they'll use it as a babysitter. They'll put the kids right in the front, and they'll be way in the back.
No.
And they'll, what are you talking about? I don't... That's not funny. What grade? I went to school. I'm in fourth grade.
And
you can't just ball up your fist and club the little
no,
because they're paying customers.
Yes, and you've had some harrowing experiences on the cruise
man.
Ships.
There just was a fist fight the other day, and it got racial.
Oh, no.
Yes, because you're not supposed to save seats.
Right.
So the security guards tend to be of Indian descent,
mm-hmm.
and there were African Americans, and there were Caucasians, and they were fighting over the seats, so then the Indians came. But when did it happen? Ladies and gentlemen, your comedian, Dobie Maxwell.
Oh, my God.
Ding, ding, 15 rounds of championship, and there's 30 minutes, and they can't postpone the shows because there are other things going on. The big song and dance show, and the deck party, and the captain's table.
So how do you work a crowd like that?
You have to basically do the play-by-play. Oop, looks like Uncle Charlie got a good lick in right there. Come on, you guys, sit down. I'm not that great. Look, I'll come to your room and tell you jokes if you want me to.
Oh,
they were listening to me, and they were dumping over tables and throwing drinks.
Holy cow, Dobie.
Yeah, it just happened. So I had to do 30 minutes. I counted 18 minutes before it got, so I had 12 minutes to do jokes. And this is why I'm Mr. Lucky. Things happen to me that don't happen to anybody else.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, add a glitch. That's my life every day.
I don't know. I know Fred Klett's doing these ships, and I don't remember him ever saying they were fistfights.
Well, then that's...
That's Fred Klett.
Yeah.
He's from Wisconsin, too.
Yes.
Do you build a bit out of that eventually?
No, you think of ways to win the lottery or get a... Get a pension doing something, sell a kidney, whatever it is.
Yeah, I don't think... That's a good question, Andy, actually. No, I had never thought of that. I don't think there's ever been a moment on stage that I've used as another moment on stage.
No.
Do you know what I mean, Dobie? No.
No.
Because you don't want to relive that for the most part.
But I mean, you know, maybe you dream and you're in school. I might like to try comedy and you think about telling jokes. Nobody dreams about standing on a boat with a life jacket at 7 o'clock in the morning with 72 people who don't speak English doing a boat drill in the Bahamas. It's like, when is this get to be part of the show business thing? And the food, there's 27 ships on there, and I won't say the line that I work for, but it rhymes with carnival. and they're nice people. They really, really are. There's 27 ships, and the food is all the same on every one of them. Monday's this, Tuesday's that, Wednesday, it's like Groundhog Day. And it's not bad food, but when you know Tuesday is going to be the Swedish meatballs, and there's nobody there from Sweden, and that's what you're going to eat. The first time I went out on the ship, I saw somebody in the crew dining room eating cornflakes for supper. I looked at, why would you do that?
Now you're
3 weeks later, I was doing it. Anything different?
Are you able to, like, can you make, like, Swedish meatball nachos and, like, mix up your...
You can try whatever you want to try. And the funny thing is they do feed you, but when you go to the ports, there's the restaurants that are, I will eat the parts of the chicken that aren't supposed to be eaten just to get something different.
Yeah, oh my God.
Oh, man. I will go to the rescue mission in Bahamas, whatever it takes to have some. And you don't realize it. It's just the same thing over and over again. And it's torture. Shut up and do that. I put anybody out there in the ship for 2 weeks. If you're not diving off that boat to swim back to Chicago.
Did you see the woman who was treading water for 10 hours?
Yes.
She said she sang to keep herself awake.
Wow.
This is crazy.
So what happened? Like, did she just like...
She fell off the boat. She wasn't like testing herself, from what I know. I mean, it's not impossible, clearly.
So nobody saw this happening? Like, hey, my friend fell off. Or
no.
Know?
About 6 months ago, I was on a boat and a guy got mad at his wife. And he had a couple of kids, too. And he got really drunk, put on a life jacket, and dove off the back of the boat.
He said, I'm out of here.
And he was drunk, and they have to stop the boat. There's protocol that goes through this. And what happened was they had a circle around, and they found him. I was talking to the security guys. We didn't think we were going to find him. And we found him, and he's sitting there at the life jacket on, and they kicked the whole family off at the next port. You got to get home yourself. They don't fly you home.
Oh, no.
But can you imagine that if you have a spat with the husband? Honey, I'm diving off the boat.
Wow, that's dramatic.
Very dramatic.
That's excessive when it comes
to
making
a statement. I'm sure your kids are like, gee, Dad, thanks for loving us enough to dive off the boat.
Holy cow. Now, do you see people, what sort of survival emotionally do the crew have? Like, are they bringing tech? Are they bringing, like, things to keep themselves sane while they're...
They start out at 500,000 bottles of beer on the wall. And they see, by the time they get down to one, it's 6 months later. Those people have 6 month contracts, and you're in a room the size of a broom closet with a roommate, total stranger, in bunk beds.
Yeah.
Can you picture that?
No. No,
yes, a lot of drinking going on.
I've been trying to remember this. There was a comic that I worked with when I first started out, who became there was a cruise director,
Rich Gleason.
Yes, I was trying to remember his name. Mm-hmm.
Rich Gleason.
Have you come across? I mean,
no, he's on a different line,
but he's still doing it, isn't he?
Still doing it.
He fell in love with it.
Yeah, he's out there for 6 months.
Yeah.
At a time.
See, I feel like I would like that. I don't know, but...
Go try it. If you do, God bless you. You can have my spot.
Okay, about 10 years ago... So my brother and I play music.
Okay.
And we put some stuff on YouTube and stuff. About 10 years ago, we got an email from like a cruise line to be like, hey, you want to come and play some music on this boat? And we never did. And we always kind of look back and go, God, what would our lives be like if we like went and did that for like a year?
Well, you would have tried it.
It's not too late.
Yeah.
You can still do it.
I don't know. It might be a little... I mean, I
can't
but
do
don't
it.
You think anything you do for a living... And people, oh, it must be so great to be on the radio. Oh, that Patty, she just eats bonbons all day long, has nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
She shows up, counts her money until her gets paper cuts, brings in these guests that do her show for her, takes her limo home, gets a pedicure. It's insane, Patty, and you know how it is. And it's hard work to do anything correctly.
It is. It is. And I used to want to do cruise ships, but one of the cruise lines said that they didn't want to worry about my safety. While I was on that. If you notice, there aren't that many women, female comics, that are hired to do the cruise.
I would say it's even less in the clubs, and you know yourself that in the clubs, what would you say it is? Maybe 1 in 20, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's fine. It's fine. It's probably for the best for me.
But you got a family, and it'd be tough to be
now
away
it
from
is,
your family.
Yes, yes, yes. And it was something I wanted to try. I know my husband would never go on a cruise ship. And I never, here
why,
was the
why
part.
Why is he afraid of the water?
He's not crazy about people. I mean, he's just an introvert.
It's a different dynamic.
He's an introvert. And not that he's not crazy about people, but the energy it would take to have to see the same people over and over again, whether it's in the dining areas or the entertainment or just... For me, I don't think I would want to see my audience every day. What were you going to say?
It's really funny when you go on a ship. There's about several thousand people on a ship.
Yeah.
And there's just certain people that you end up seeing over and over
exactly.
and over again.
Exactly.
There was I was on it just a few weeks ago, and this guy, no offense, he wasn't a mean person at all, but he was a hillbilly. He wore flip-flops on at formal night, you know, big long beard and the glasses, and a nice enough guy. I saw him on the elevator. I saw him eating. I saw him at the show. I saw him like 12 times, and it's like, are you again? We're laughing about it at the time, out of 5,000 people. And when you have a bad show, that's when you see everybody.
Exactly. That's what would make me crazy is to have a bad show.
Yeah.
And no one wants to make eye contact with you, or they come up to you and they want to give you material.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I can't.
Is the cruise audience a little more forgiving, though?
No. No, they paid a cruise. They're on vacation. They want to see Eddie Murphy at Patty Vasquez and Dobie Maxwell prices.
Wow.
Well, Patty's a star.
Ez, have you been on a cruise ship? Do you want to? I don't know if
no.
I don't see Ez as a cruise ship kind of gal.
No. Only the whole idea of being in the middle of the ocean, you can't get away. I can barely go to a music festival because of the idea that I can't come in and out of the music festival.
You're trapped. Yeah. You're trapped with those people.
No, I
will say this though, when the weather gets pretty high, you know, there's people that are yakking off the side of the boat.
Oh no!
It's like, do you handle rides well? Like at Six Flags?
Does that spinning? I can't do spinning rides.
Well, sometimes the boat is
spinning,
shaking when you're baking, going the other way. It can get tough out there.
How about you, Eric? Have you ever done a cruise ship?
I have never done a cruise.
And do you want to?
I don't
think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never really thought about it.
Start small. Do local. Do the ports of call like Gary and Muskegon.
Michael, baby steps. Baby steps.
Yes.
Michael, you, I mean, I get the feeling that, that you would be curious about a cruise ship.
Yeah, I have taken a cruise.
Oh, you
before.
Have?
I went on a Mediterranean cruise to from Istanbul to the Mediterranean coast, which
and?
Was it was nice. But Toby's exactly right; those tight quarters and the amount of food that you keep seeing. Mm. And we had the same thing where we saw the same people over and over again. And then when you got to see them sing really bad karaoke and then see them at breakfast the next day, you so so it was pretty painful.
And
but,
I will say too, I don't know if you got this. There are people, and again, America's all about religious freedom. Don't corner me on the ship when I'm having my lunch and just quote the Bible to me for 45 minutes.
Oh.
And it's just I'm trying to be polite. I don't begrudge anybody their beliefs. I really go out of my way to be friendly, but there's that 1 out of 10 that just will not let you go.
Well, when we come back, maybe Andy Choi from Verizon's got some ideas for
awesome
some earbuds. That you
I bet he does.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
You know, I think I have a few
ideas. I think got some ideas.
You're the savior, Andy. Thanks, buddy.
Speaking of savior, have you? No, I'm just kidding.
There you go. More. Wait a minute. Wait, that's what they put in your earbuds. More after this on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis on 720 WGN. We are hanging out in the Allstate Skyline Studios with comedian Dobie Maxwell, who is the author of Monkey in the Middle. He's about to embark on another round of cruise performances, doing the family shows and then the adult shows and then being trapped with the audiences. And
I got a new pair of flip-flops and I'm going to get waxed before I go.
and that is Andy Choi in the studio with us, bringing some really cool gear from Verizon. Before we check in with him and see what kind of gear Dobie maybe can take with him to avoid having to interact with people, not all the time, just when he wants some downtime to himself.
Well, you don't know if it's day or night.
Yeah.
You look at your watch in your room, there's no windows, it's fluorescent lights, which is bad for you. 8:05, did I miss my show or is it breakfast time?
Oh,
I don't know.
Man.
So well, cheer up.
Lulu said that she's been on a cruise before. Hey, Lulu, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm good. I had to pull over because I just had to tell a story that I had the privilege twice to take a cruise on a private yacht.
Ooh.
I'm lucky that I have a high school friend who's in the 1%, the family has a lot of money.
Wow.
And private jets, too.
Wow.
That was a blast.
Sure.
And the boat was 154-foot, crew of 10, and we had some Canadians on board. The crew was great.
Some Canadians?
I'm sorry.
No, from London, New Zealand, Chicago, they were from all over the place. It was incredible, and the stories they had to tell about their other, you know, cruises, people that they worked with, and
how was the food?
Yeah, really.
Oh my God, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, I asked for some Tylenol, and the stewardess, which they still call them that, came out with a silver tray with a silver pot or something with a doily and opened it up, and there was 2 Tylenol.
Jeez.
She told you they were Tylenol.
Yeah, exactly. Take the green one.
There were a couple times that we got a little queasy, and we did take. We had some stuff we took with us, and because a 154-foot yacht can still get, rocky.
Yeah, that sounds like a different experience than the kind of cruise lines that we're talking about. That sounds magical.
One day we pulled into, I think it was French Martinique. I'm not sure because this was in the late 90s, and a cruise ship was pulling in at the same time. And it was really weird to see that big cruise ship, and then here we are, but then all these people were coming off, and we're all going to the same place. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
So we got out of there pretty quick, caught a taxi, and he took us somewhere else. So.
Yeah, no kidding.
Those cruise ships are big. It's like Berwyn on the water, you know?
Oh, my God. They got
a morgue in there. They've got a hospital in there. I'm not kidding. People die on the cruises. They cool them off with the pies.
Do they dump them off the boat like they do?
I can't.
No, they drag it behind and they troll for tuna for supper. Barracudas.
Oh,
you know.
My God.
You got grandpa's leg in the water.
Well, Lulu, take care of yourself so you don't end up in the morgue on a yacht next time. Thanks, Lulu.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, Lulu, it's good to hear your voice. So glad to hear from you.
Thanks.
Yep. Be careful out there.
See you later.
Be safe on the roads. We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you. And so, Andy.
Yes.
While Dobby is traveling, what are I know that you have some Bluetooth earbuds. I don't know if Dobby is inclined to use such things.
I would be glad to do that if I knew what they were.
Well, here's the thing, Dobby. I mean, if you are going to get on Berwyn on the water, as you say, you never know who you're going to run into or just what kind of distractions you might have. And honestly, the age of the truly wireless Bluetooth headset has arrived. You may have seen, it's gotten popular with the Apple AirPods and such, but I wanted to introduce you to the Jabra Elite 65T wireless earbuds, and really the call quality on this, if you're making phone calls, is fantastic.
That it is.
It's got four microphones so that, when you're making the call, I'm always checking. I'm always like, hey, How am I sounding? How am I sounding on these Jabra Elite 65Ts? And it sounds great. The music's great. For a while, even just a couple years ago, truly wireless Bluetooth, they were able to do it, but the sound quality was just not very good. And while it may not be delivered in a silver platter, this charging case is fantastic as well. It actually charges the Bluetooth as you are.
Now, what does it cost out the door, Andy?
Okay, so this is up there. It's $169.99.
Oh, come on, are you kidding me?
Now, that said, you are getting some high-quality speakers with this, microphones as well. You can also pair your earbuds to the smartphone using Bluetooth, Google Assistant, Alexa, Siri. So there's a lot going on here, and they're very subtle. I mean, just from an aesthetic standpoint here, they're not really intrusive in the sense that you're wearing the over-the-ear, headphones where you're just like, don't bother me. But they're just there enough that if someone were to come up and say, hey, I saw your show last night, and then they go, oh, he's
here. Yeah, you're like, I got this in here. Yeah, ooh, I'm listening to music right now.
Oh, is something playing?
I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
Play that funky music.
Is this some of the music you've made here, Andy?
Oh.
That's your band?
I don't know what's playing there. Yep.
You know what I think is playing? I left a...
Don't stop it, though, because Dobie's going to try out the...
I left a podcast on for you there.
Oh, is that what it is?
Really? What is it? Is it Patty's Last Night Show?
This is it's a podcast about Lance Armstrong.
Oh.
Wow.
It is a podcast. They're talking about the Microsoft Surface is what you're...
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
So listen to another show while I'm doing my show. You guys carry on. I'm going to listen to this new tech thing. I have a quick question about kids going back to school.
Yes.
A lot of them are told in high schools now, if the school doesn't provide them, they're being asked to get a Chromebook. And I've heard that Chromebooks don't last very long.
Well, the Chromebook is really, as far as like versatility goes, I mean, you're getting a lot of speed with the Chromebook. So, it's one of those things where you can, if you got a Pixelbook here, I've got one right here. And, it's not only a laptop. It can act as a tablet. You can put it in tent mode and watch videos. Great for the traveling working mom as well as the college student, high school student. But, I think the problem right now is that we are seeing more and more laptops, tablets on a more regular basis being released. And this is certainly the time with back to school. You see a lot of different devices coming out. And so, is the Chromebook for everybody? Maybe not.
Because can't a kid use a laptop? I mean, it seems as though the Chromebook is a little more limited, especially if it's not the Pixel, in how much you can add to it, like apps and things like that.
Absolutely. And that's the thing is that I think, the days of kind of adding to the actual device are a few and far between because the apps are changing so much. You're really doing more with software as opposed to the hardware there. So, the Pixelbook obviously is one of those things where it's
kind cool.
It's an all-in-one. It's fast.
Right.
You flip it on, and in seconds, you're just ready to go.
Does it have Pong on there?
I'm sure we can find an app for Pong.
Yes. It's amazing to me in one lifetime, and I realize I'm old, but
from
Pong to that
is
George Jetson.
Did you play other like Atari or any of those things?
I never
in the
found
70s?
It fun. I was outside playing baseball with other kids and the nerdy geeks who were in there playing video games. And I'd play, that's never going to last. Baseball will never go away. And then when it snowed, we played football and basketball and hockey and whatever else it is. Now the kids are getting thumbitis. I walk in the grocery store, I see a kid in the grocery cart, 2 years old, deep into that, whatever the government, the Antichrist, whatever they're pouring into that kid's head, it sure ain't reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Nope.
Which is why it's important to have those conversations with your children
about it.
And you have brought that up. Is you know, we keep our son's computer in the living room.
Yes.
So there's not like he's not locking himself in his bedroom and doing whatever he wants. And we know what he's working on.
Mm-hmm.
And even we've always done this, too, with watching television. You know, we stop something. We go, hey, do you know what that meant? Do you know what they're talking about? If it's something that we didn't realize someone was going to swear, we talk about, well, when Griffin was younger. But you're right. Having that open dialogue, being honest and making sure your child is engaged about what it means to, you know, be playing online or video games and things like that.
I think especially one of the first conversations you're going to have as a parent is, you know, your kid is going to ask you, am I ready for that phone? And you've got to really know exactly what that phone is for.
The devil's workshop, brother, potentially.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is, I mean, there are just certain things, you know, with the phone that, you know, children probably shouldn't have access to. And
that's
something that you just got to be honest about. And we certainly, you know, highlight those conversations when we talk about apps like our Smart Family app, where you can literally, the parent phone can kind of see exactly, you know, what the child phone is doing.
I think you need that.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, Griffin's mostly Googling Doctor Who stuff. Let me give you back these jobbers. He's so big into Doctor Who and all those. And music, he's been doing a lot. Like he's learning a lot of how to play Beatles songs on his guitar. So
That's pretty cool.
Oh, that's what he's letting me believe he's actually doing online.
Now, when you grew up, I don't know if when you guys grew up, we had a guy that would go door to door selling encyclopedias.
Oh, those are gone.
It's
all
like
Britannica's gone.
We still have our encyclopedia on the bookshelf at home. I recently got my old room back when I moved back to Chicago.
There's your encyclopedias?
Thanks, Mom. Yeah, the encyclopedias are right next to where I sleep now. So
man, it's Amish Google.
Let's take a break for news. And I know that that Andy's got a lot more boxes in front of him.
Yeah.
To share some tech stuff. And we also wanted to, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about ride shares. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea has a night off. She'll be back tomorrow night. We are in the All State Skyline Studios, and I cannot ignore a story that Dobie was alluding to while we were off the air, because, you know, many comics throughout their careers get heckled, or people, you know, think that they're being spoken to directly, and they respond to every single thing a comic says. We are sharing a little few stories off the air. Andy Choi joins us from Verizon. He's got some cool gear for us, but I think we have to turn our attention to Dobie telling us that something happened years ago in his career that he recently has been sharing with people.
Andy, I'll tell it fast. I was heckled by Donald Trump.
What?
That sounds like crazy. a National Enquirer headline, doesn't it?
I
was in Florida 20 years ago, 1997 or 8, right around there, and Donald Trump and Rosie O'Donnell were really good friends.
Yes.
And they both had property in Palm Beach. Well, there was a club in West Palm Beach. Andrew Dorfman, who Patty knows.
Oh, sure.
They
worked
they were down there. And I was house emceeing. So Rosie O'Donnell was there. It was a two-act show. I was supposed to do 35 or 40 minutes, and then Rosie would come up and finish the show.
Okay.
And the club manager came up right before and said, Donald Trump is going to be at the late show tonight. He wants to see Rosie. So we're going to sneak him in. The show is going to start. So it'll be about 10 minutes after you're up. Just so you know, when the commotion starts, the light will be dark. No one will see him. So, okay, fine, whatever. I've been around the block. I'm bulletproof. I've seen it before. So sure enough, 10 minutes in the show, the club was dark. It's a big club. There's like 400 or 500 people in there. It was a big room.
Sure.
I don't know if you ever did it.
Well, the Dorfmans always do it right.
Well, they did it right. It was another club, and they took it over, and it was really, really nice. It was totally full, and Rosie was just becoming a big star then. And I saw, you know, there's Trump, and there's the bodyguards that come in and sit down. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, Donald Trump says to me, "When are you going to get funny?" So he's throwing it down right then, and the people don't know who it is.
Right.
I know who it is because it's coming up. It says, "As soon as I get an egg beater and finish your haircut, pinhead." And then, you know, people, you could just see it. It's Donald Trump. It's Donald Trump. It's Donald Trump. It's Donald Trump. They could see it going back. And so then they turned the lights on and made it even worse.
No.
So Trump, Mr. Trump, grabs his white napkin and he says, "Oh, no. It's not over with now. You poked the tiger, so it's go time."
Oh,
I said, you heckling me is like tipping over a wheelchair saying I kicked your butt. Now what do you got to say now? Oh, I'm sorry. It's okay now. So we went back and forth and they turned the lights down and afterwards. So at the Rosio did great and they left without paying his bill. Trump did not pay his bill, and it made the paper the next day, so we sent his bodyguards over to bring a $100 bill, and after the show was over that night, one of the bodyguards came up and said, Mr. Trump thought you were very funny.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I don't know if he does or he doesn't, but I didn't even think about it, but think, wow, who would have known?
And I don't think people realize that they were friends.
Yeah. Oh, they were good friends.
Yeah.
And they came back, I mean, I didn't see, but they were in the dressing room talking for a good half hour.
And here's the thing. We could actually Google this. We could probably find the news story about him not paying.
Oh, I bet you could. It was in the West Palm Beach. I bet you could find that, yeah.
Doing it right now.
Finding the West Palm Beach?
It's probably 96, 97, 98, right around in there.
How crazy is that?
Yeah, he didn't pay his bill.
Man, and to be heckled by somebody, you're like, really?
When are you going to get funny? It's like, okay, you come in there late, you blah, blah, blah. He's a bully.
Yeah.
That's what bullies do. And you're thinking, okay, the boss can say that because what are you going to do? I don't work for him.
Man.
So bam, bam, bam.
Did Dorfman say anything to you afterwards?
He wasn't there.
Oh, Dorfman wasn't there.
But they heard about it. Oh, I heard Donald Trump came in last night.
Yeah. 1997.
Somewhere right around there, yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
That was that post or pre Rosie O'Donnell having that show?
She was just about to get it because I had an article in the Milwaukee Journal, you know, the shiny part of the paper, the Sunday paper. My father was a bad guy, and I had a face-to-face with my father, and it was pretty poignant. It was in that section on the cover, and Rosie O'Donnell had read it backstage when I was on, and she approached me, and she didn't get along really well with her father, so we sat down, and she was crying. And she, I could never face my father, and I said, look, I don't care how famous you get for that show. It's like cutting your wrist when you're putting a Band-Aid on your leg. Your leg's not bleeding. Your wrist is. You got to sit down with your dad if he's alive and tell him what you got to tell him. I didn't get what I wanted out of it, but at least I got to say it.
Right.
And she said, oh, boy, you're so brave. I can't. I said, well, you know, you're going to resist. He'll die, and then you won't ever get a chance.
That's amazing.
And, she has a reputation of being mean-spirited. She could not have been any nicer. Mm. Trump was the jerk.
I had never, people have their opinions about her in recent
she
years.
She was nice. I liked her.
I had never heard, there was a comic named Joey, there was a writer, was it Joey Yannetti was one of the writers for her show early on?
Could be, yeah.
Yeah. And he always had great things to say about her.
Yeah, she was very nice. You don't know people. You know, people say, "Oh, Patty couldn't be any nicer," but oh, she's got a radio job. They want to be a hater.
They want to be a hater. That's
right. I like that hater aid.
Well, mostly because I get cool toys once in a while from Verizon. That's one of the reasons why they hate me. It's true. I was telling you about my LG Studio.
Yeah.
They sent this as a gift for Christmas one time.
Yeah, you didn't get to that. You didn't get that.
See, this is when you follow someone like Mr. Steve Van Dinter, who's been promoted to headquarters.
Yes.
My good friend Steve.
He lives in New York now.
Wow.
Yes. Now I got to really bring it here.
That's all right,
Steve. Thank you.
I'm shutting up now. I have no more stories about that.
No, you're kidding me.
You have great stories,
story. How am I supposed to follow that?
I don't know.
Blagojevich flipped me off of traffic once. No,
did he really? No, come on.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to go into my story and I'm waiting for
go.
When are you going to get interesting? That's what I'm waiting to hear.
Oh, right. I'm fascinated by all the stuff you're going to. It's like Christmas in August. You're bringing out all these doodads and dingleberries and hoo-has and all that fun stuff.
I hope you don't bring out the dingleberries. I don't have that kind of... I don't have
my favorite
baby
cereal.
Wipes. Yes.
A lot of fiber in there.
Now, I asked Dobie during the break as well whether or not he used Uber because you were referring to some of the programs that you have.
Yes, now, this is very Chicago-centric, you know, everyone using ride shares nowadays. And so Verizon hoping to kind of help out folks who are actually out there trying to, you know, get around the city with Uber. So one of the promotions that we have is that you will get up to $600 in Uber credits for activating a new line of service with Verizon. That's through our Verizon Up. It's kind of our thank you program for our customers, our loyal customers. So the question is, you know, are we using $600 worth of Uber out there? Are there
over a course of a year, I absolutely have used that much, I would say.
So, you know, hopefully it's a nice way for, obviously, if you're using Uber, you're probably using your phone quite a bit as well.
Right. And the thing about using Uber, too, is that you get this, you know, if you don't want to drive somewhere, if you want to be able to get some work done, if you want to, you know, catch up on emails or things like that, it's kind of a nice little perk if you can have $600 worth of Uber for a year.
That's true.
I'm just saying.
Rideshare, what do you think, W? Are you...
Yeah,
I've done it once.
Patty's dad was a cab driver. I don't think any cab driver in Chicago likes it.
Well, you know, my dad became a livery driver. He owned his own car.
Oh,
so it was a little bit like before Uber because he was kind of at your beck and call. He had a car phone. So if you wanted a ride.
He and Batman had it at that time.
Oh, my God. I made phone calls on that phone. I got in so much trouble. That was so expensive. It was so expensive. But no, my mom and I have had a conversation about this, Dobie. We really think that my dad would have gone the way of Uber or Lyft because he hated, first of all, the regulations, all the, you know, sort of hoops he had to jump through as a cab driver in Chicago. I don't know, and believe me, I hate that this is such a strain on the cab industry. Yeah. But at the same time, it's the cab industry hasn't been able to evolve both
progress.
Internally and externally has been
It's so convenient.
Yeah,
you got to do it.
Yeah,
yeah, I've done it. Sure.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, it's just one of those things where, you know, nobody, I mean, you know, remember when you had to be like, okay, who's going to be the designated driver? Nobody really even talks about that anymore because they rock the Uber, so.
Right.
One more quick story.
Of course.
30 seconds or less.
It's okay, Dobie.
AAA says you can get towed up to 100 miles if your car breaks down.
Is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow. As a comedian, most normal people drive 30 to 45 minutes on average to work an 8 to 10-hour shift at a job.
Okay.
Comedians, we drive 8 to 10 hours on average to work a 30 to 45-minute shift.
Oh, that's true.
One time, I was in East Texas, and I had to be in El Paso, Texas, which was 696 miles away.
Okay.
They didn't say that you couldn't call AAA more than once. My car broke down in East Texas. I called 6 times. 100 miles, 100 miles, 100 miles, 100 miles, 100 miles, 100 miles, 100 miles. And I got there at 10 minutes before the show, and the next day they said, you've been kicked out of AAA.
That's
really
crazy.
I can imagine that it's true. But
nowhere does it say you can't call more than once a day. I should have had Judge Judy in my corner, so Johnny Cochran, somebody.
See, now imagine if you were in our Uber program, you would exceed the $600 quickly.
Yes, very, very
quickly. I'd have to sell a kidney at about Austin to try to get to the gig.
It also shows you the extent to which a comic will go to get to a gig, because there's no worse. Because that gig, if you can't make it to that one, that could be a chain of gigs you're no longer doing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we don't like to not show
the
up.
The dedication that our comics show to the
How
audience.
Bad were our fathers, Andy, that we have to go get that attention 700 miles and it's 7 drivers and 7 tow trucks?
I'm trying to think if I ever missed a gig. I don't think I've ever missed a gig. I walked out on a Mueller gig. I just in the middle, I'm like, I'm done.
That's your choice, though.
Yeah, that was my choice.
The other.
He said, don't ever call this office again. I go, that's kind of the point.
That's
and
fine.
I used colorful language on top of it. Yeah,
I never heard that. Some guys pay extra for that, Patty. $4 a minute to hear Patty talk like that.
So my mom is also on our Verizon plan, and you mentioned that there's a 55 plus plan now.
Yes.
So is this for if they're not, as long as they're not on my family plan?
So this is
kick her off.
Part of this is, you know, unlimited lines are becoming kind of the standard, you know, industry wide, and it's just to make sure that you look. We're using a lot of data on our phones right now, so if you get 2 unlimited lines, if you're over 55, $80 a month. I know we've got listeners all over the country here, so this is for Illinois. Florida and Missouri. So
okay.
It's kind of a trial run for our program here. But at $80 a month for 2 lines.
That's great price.
That's great price.
You're saving $50 if you're 55 plus there. So
excellent.
It's a nice you know, feature for folks who are, you know, frankly, this is a group that I think goes unreported, that, you know, it is the fastest growing social media users, the senior crowd, actually.
Well, the thing is that you're able to connect with people maybe you haven't talked to in years. It's also a way for you to check in on your grandkids because you know that they're posting stuff or the you know, family photos.
Instagram.
That's right, Instagram.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's very cool. How do people find out about both of those programs?
You can head to VerizonWireless.com, check it out. I will say this about the 55 plus. There are a few kind of fine print issues, so you may want to go to your Verizon retailer, the retail stores out there, and get that set up in person. You can do it online, but it may be a little more helpful to have a representative help you with that.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so just a lot of great promotions and hopefully kind of sparks you know, I love a good conversation when, you know, when it comes to promotions like these. And so, you know, if grandma's using the phone more than you, perhaps you can help her out with a little Uber, a little ride share.
Who's she calling?
There you go.
Exactly. Who's she calling?
Ghostbusters.
I was leaning over because there's a lot of boxes we didn't get to.
Yes.
There. This car charger. What's
car
this?
Charger here. This is the Belkin Road Rockstar. This is going to save a lot of grief and drama in the car. Here you can see you've got the car charger, which has 2 ports, then an extender, a little 6-foot line that can go from the front of the car to the back with 2 more ports there.
I see.
No one's iPad or Android phone is going without a charge here. So
there's a listener from the 630 that asks, if you're that Verizon program for 55 plus, is there a plan for just one person with a single line?
Yes, there is actually. So the plan for the single line is $60 for that line. The unlimited line is $75, the regular unlimited line. So you're saving $15 there.
There you go. That's a good savings. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a break. We have to wind down. It was a quick show. The White Sox, unfortunately, lost to the Twins, and there was a rain delay, so we only had a short show tonight, and Nick D will be up soon. We are gonna wind down with a little Tell Me Something Good, Dobie, and I know folks want to know how Declan's doing, and so since I'm putting it in my Tell Me Something Good, you know that Declan is recovering from his surgery, and I'll tell you a little bit about that when we come back. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis on 720 WGN. More in a moment. It was a very long day, and I'm happy to say that everything went very smoothly. For those of you who know, my son Declan is 13 years old. He was born with a neurological disorder called the corpus callosum disorder, which caused a lot of difficulties for him when he was born. And one of those is he has hypotonia, which means that his muscles are not very strong. He's a little underdeveloped in that area. He's also intellectually challenged. He cannot talk, and he has a lot of delays. So one of the things that had emerged in the last few years was significant scoliosis, and then the last year or so it was starting to affect his ability to breathe, and it was also impacting his other organs. So they decided that now that he was 13 years old, and that's about when your spine is not going to grow too much more, they needed to go in and put two chrome titanium rods. And so the surgeons took him in today, and we had planned this surgery, and one of the reasons I traveled last week was so that my family could be distracted and we wouldn't just be sitting around worrying about this surgery, and also because I wasn't sure how he was going to recover afterwards, if we would be able to travel for a while. So Declan's surgery went very well today. They did have to stop several times, in contrast to how other patients operated on when they have a spinal surgery in this way. The surgeons have sensors to make sure that the hands and arms are still receiving messages from the spine. Usually if the sensors go off or they think there might be a problem, they will have to wake the patient and ask them to wiggle their toes. And that's not something that could be done for Declan. So they did have to stop the surgery and back off on some of the things they had planned to do. The good news is that a lot of the corrections on his spinal cord were accomplished, and we will learn more in the coming days. He is fine. He's recovering. He was, when he woke up, he was able to move his legs, his hands. So all was good. He's groggy and of course confused because we cannot explain to him what had happened. So it was very scary for us. So thank you so much to everyone who was sharing their good vibes, their prayers, and all the well wishes for my family. And Declan is doing really well. Thank you to all the surgeons, the nurses, the aides that are helping make sure that he doesn't rip everything out. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you wake up from a surgery, you don't know what happened to you, you'd want to rip out all those needles too, wouldn't you, Dobie? But
absolutely.
Get this off of me.
Much respect, Patty. That's, you know what, we think we have problems. We have no problems. That's it. We have inconveniences. Peace to your whole family. That's very, very brave. And
much
love.
Well, thank you. But I understand that, and I appreciate that. And I also I wish the same kind of support that I have. One of the reasons I'm able to get through things like this is the family, the friends, the people I work with, the people who are kind, who are there for me. And in particular, my husband, who has really done a lot of the heavy lifting on this. My mom, who's been supportive. And Griffin just was such a great big brother. He took care of Declan on the entire flight back from London. We had to sit two and two, and he asked to sit next to Declan the entire flight home, and would not let us take care of Declan. So that was really cool. I'll show you some photos before we're done.
That's awesome.
So it was a great experience to travel, and again, I kind of did all of that. My plan was to make sure that my family was not just sitting around worrying, and thankfully everything went very well, and he was in excellent hands, and my husband is hopefully sleeping in Declan's hospital room right now. So we'll find out what more in the next couple of days. And a lot of the reasons I love my son responds so well to technology. You know, I was talking about these LG Studio Bluetooth. He loves wearing these external speakers because he can't speak and we don't know what his quality of hearing is. He can feel it through his body. That Declan's very tactile. So that's one of the great things Steve Van Dinter and Andy Choi have brought to us through Verizon. So thank you so much for that.
So many great wearables. And we're just so happy to just know that were able to kind of share in, in just your family's happiness. That's what it's all about, right?
Right. And speaking of which, before we go, I know a listener was asking about using screens. He grew up on books and magazines, and now when he uses computer screens, he gets a headache. What kind of adjustments can he maybe make to alleviate that strain?
You know, the one thing that folks often don't think about is that the screen light, actually, it's a blue light. And, you know, it's sort of purposed for, you know, the office environment, daylight, outside. So when you're watching at night, it's going to help you. It's not going to help you sleep very well. And sometimes you'll get headaches. So there are little options where you can kind of drop down in your settings menus where you can actually turn off that blue light, and the screen will look a little yellow.
Okay.
It'll give that yellow hue. It'll help you. I mean, you know, obviously there's a lot of people out there that say, hey, when it gets to bedtime, turn it off, put it away.
Right.
Practice good technological hygiene. That said, if you are reading or reading in the dark or looking at screens like that, take a look and see what your settings are on those devices. There should be like a night option that should turn your screen yellow.
All right. So that's hopefully that's something good for our listener who was wondering about that. Toby, before I kick you out, and we have to, because my show now ends at 1 after the Sox game, I wish you safe travels. Do you want to tell me something good? Mr. Lucky, come on, tell us.
Something good?
That's how we end the show, is what makes you happy, what makes you smile.
Oh.
I put you on the spot, didn't I?
You certainly did, and that's hard to do, because usually my mouth is running like a blender with the top off. Just the weather is beautiful in Chicago.
Yes.
We complained about it for so long. Let's just enjoy it. Mm. And top down, shorts, we'll just enjoy it.
I love that. How about you, Andy? What's your something good?
You know what? When I left the house tonight to come here, my mom was playing the ukulele. My brother was playing the accordion. Strange noises, but honestly, after years away working in TV news, traveling in different markets, and now being able to come home and spend some time with them, it's been nice. So
that was really sweet.
I know my brother's watching, so it sounded weird, bro, but thanks, man. That was great.
I want to play the accordion now. Michael, tell me something good. I know you got a lot of plans for tomorrow night.
Yeah, tomorrow night, Paul and I are going to be on air. It's Paul's debut here on WGN. We're hopefully not going to tear the place apart or break anything.
On the night side.
On the night side. But, you know, Patty, my good thing is just hearing that Declan's okay, because I know he's going through a lot. I know your family is going through a lot. And it's great to have that great support system. And I'm glad to see you here. And I'm wishing all the best for our little guy down at the hospital.
Thank you. As I...